You are listening to the Middle East Institute's podcast series. To support MEI's programs and podcasts, please donate at www.mei.edu. Thank you for your support.
Well, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Tony Zinni. I am working with Wendy as an honorary chairman of the board of the Middle East Institute. And I had the great honor and privilege to be initially the deputy commander of Provide Comfort under the wisdom and guidance of General Jim Jamerson, who's here. And the operation expanded. I became the chief of staff when General Shali Kashvili came in and then went back to being the number two guy. And as they all came and went, 7 months later, from a deployment that was supposed to last a couple of days, I was allowed to come back to our headquarters in the European Command. As I think Bayan expressed, this operation was not only something you do as a military person that you're used to doing. The personal connection, the humanitarian side of this, the tragedies we saw, I think the satisfaction of saving lives, what we found when we first came to those hills in southern and southeastern Turkey were 500,000 Kurds and others that had been chased into the hills by Saddam's forces and brutalized. 10,000 had died in the course of that time. We were able to bring them all home. And I think for all of us that served and many here who were there in different capacities and later in the luncheon talk, I'm going to talk about this operation in the different parts because some of the parts may have been very obvious, but others of it were done in a way where there wasn't much attention, but were critical to what we're able to do. But I think being able to leave and know we brought home the vast majority of those Kurds was tremendously satisfying. I have the honor and privilege of introducing our keynote speaker for the morning here, His Excellency the Minister Falah Mustafa Bakir. And you have in your program a short biography of the minister. I think what you would notice in there is his dedication, 2 decades to his people, serving in the role in the last 10 years as the Minister for Foreign Relations, first Minister for Foreign Relations, and able to do it through 8 cabinets, and that would be unheard of here, Your Excellency, so that's a real tribute. But in many capacities for his government before that. And I think the one thing that stands out is the fact that in your leadership, you possess the vision, the dedication, and the passion for your people that I think was key in ensuring that what we were able to do and bring them home and provide comfort was able to be sustained. And again, this afternoon, I want to talk more not just about those of us that conducted the operation, but why this was a success was the resilience and the courage of the Kurdish people, which we all took to heart, and then to see what has happened since in this area and feel that maybe we were part of that. But it is my honor, Your Excellency, to have you please give us the keynote address. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, General, for this kind introduction. In fact, it was not the 8th successive cabinets. It was during the 5th cabinet that the department was established, and I took it over from there. Your Excellencies, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, I am privileged to be with you today as we commemorate the 25th anniversary of Operation Provide Comfort and the United Nations Security Council Resolution 688. Unfortunately, His Excellency President Masoud Barzani could not join us due to other commitments in the Kurdistan region and asked me to convey to you his message. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to start these brief remarks by apologizing for not being able to attend this very valuable event. I use the word valuable here very carefully, as the passing of United Nations Security Council Resolution 688 was indeed a valuable event for the people of the Kurdistan region. It was through that resolution that we began to form a new life here in the Kurdistan region, a life that carried with it hope, and certainty. The people of Kurdistan had witnessed the unspeakable cruelty of the Ba'athist regime. We had been subjected to the act of the Anfal genocide of 1988, where 182,000 Kurds were murdered for the mere crime of having been born Kurds. We had been gassed with chemical weapons all across Kurdistan, but infamously in the town of Halabja, where in a matter of only a few minutes, 5,000 civilians were poisoned to death. We had witnessed the mass murder of 12,000 Feili Kurds and 8,000 Barzanis. Again, they were murdered only because their identity cards read Kurdish and their nationality. 4,500 out of the 5,000 villages of Kurdistan were completely demolished by the Saddam regime. Our share of Saddam's Iraq was that assortment of those crimes against humanity. Our share of the Ba'athist rule in Baghdad was misery and mass graves. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have every right to cherish April 5th, 1991, to treat United Nations Security Council Resolution 688 as a valuable document because the silence of the international community had finally come to an end and the world began to tell Saddam that enough is enough. The international community, through Resolution 688, condemned the Saddam regime for its repression. Today, we attribute much of our achievements in the past quarter of a century to that condemnation through the Security Council resolution. The resolution and the operation Provide Comfort paved the way to the holding of the first free elections in Iraq, the 1992 Kurdistan elections, the establishment of the Kurdistan Regional Government, the Kurdistan Parliament, and a number of institutions of which the people of Kurdistan were deprived. The resolution gave the people of the Kurdistan region for the first time, after a very long period of suffering and pain, a sense of hope, and they began to optimistically look into the future. Resolution 688 and Operation Provide Comfort enabled us to demonstrate to the world that we can transform this land of mass graves and misery into a land of hope and coexistence. That Kurdistan is a region of opportunities and not vengeance. A region where human dignity matters far more than absurd nationalistic and racist propaganda whose end result was the destruction of so many lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank the international community from the depths of my heart and on behalf of the people of the Kurdistan region for the brave decision to act against Saddam Hussein regime. Again, please accept my appreciation to the people and government of the United States and other allies for their support during Operation Provide Comfort in 1991. Finally, I call upon your support and prayers for Kurdistan's Peshmerga forces fighting our shared enemy, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS. The Peshmerga represent a school of thought which emphasizes courage, sacrifice, and selflessness. And throughout history, they have become a symbol of our national pride. Today, we are engaged in an existential war against some of the most barbaric human beings in modern history. In spite of the many challenges, the Peshmerga are fighting to rid the Kurdistan region and beyond of terrorists who do not share our principles of peace, coexistence, and freedom. And they continue to defend communities fleeing violence and persecution from Iraq and beyond. As I have said in the past, our Peshmerga forces are not only defending our land and dignity, but they are fighting on behalf of the civilized world against an enemy that targets freedom-loving people indiscriminately, whether it is in Sinjar or Paris, Kobane or Raqqa, Mosul or Brussels. Once again, thank you and God bless you. Thank you all for giving me the opportunity to deliver His Excellency President Barzani's message to you on this significant day of commemoration. Thank you. Well, Excellencies, Ambassadors, Generals, distinguished guests, friends, ladies and gentlemen, The 5th of April 1991 is a landmark date in the history of the people of Kurdistan, for it marks the adoption of UN Security Council Resolution 688, calling on Iraq's regime to hold its systematic brutal oppression of the Iraqi people, including those in Iraqi Kurdistan. Often it takes a humanitarian crisis and great suffering to bring international attention to the cause of an oppressed people. Examples are Rwanda, Sudan, Operation Restore Hope in Somalia, and also Operation Provide Comfort for Iraq. This particular resolution paved the way for the initiation and implementation of Operation Provide Comfort. In fact, this operation, led by the United States, UK, and France, did much more than just provide comfort. It provided hope, has created lasting friendships, and opened new possibilities for freedom, democracy, and overall safe and brighter future for the people of Kurdistan. Without this support, the fate of nearly 2 million people who sought refuge on the bitterly cold mountains on the borders of Iran and Turkey would almost certainly have been sealed. Instead, because of this act of humanity and friendship, we were able to change direction and usher in an era of success and democracy in the Kurdistan region of Iraq. In many ways, Operation Provide Comfort went above and beyond its original humanitarian mandate, as it subsequently provided a genuine source of stability from which Kurdistan could flourish and thrive. The progress made in the Kurdistan region in the last 25 years since the operation has been astonishing. Previously, we were suffering from a catastrophic humanitarian crisis situation in need of desperate help. The region is now a safe haven which has opened its doors to provide humanitarian assistance to millions of displaced people and refugees. Certainly, the grim hardships endured by the people of Kurdistan have helped to formulate our own moral and ethical principles that are apparent today in our open-door humanitarian policy. From the period between the operation in 1991 and the removal of the Saddam Hussein regime in 2003, it cannot be said that the people of Kurdistan enjoyed prosperity, harmony, or peace. Indeed, the situation remained difficult in all of Iraq. But because of the heroic success of Resolution 688 and the Operation Provide Comfort, the situation was never allowed to disintegrate into the ferocious attacks that we had suffered before. Although we did not have much of an economy or great resources, at least we knew there was protection from our friends monitoring the skies above. That was the very first seed from which our current success has grown. And so, once the regime was toppled in 2003, we were ready to learn, to grow, and to serve as responsible and helpful members of the international community. Today, we are confronting an intense military and humanitarian crisis on behalf of the entire world, at the tip of the spear, as we are told time and again by friends from abroad. Our ability to win this war, and we are winning these battles every day, would not have been possible without the contributions from our friends 25 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, this current crisis has provided a bleak reminder of what Kurdistan and its citizens endured under the era of Saddam Hussein. Indeed, just as in 1991, today we find ourselves facing another humanitarian catastrophe, one which has required equal military and humanitarian effort. Just as in 1991, this crisis has resulted in millions of displaced people, many of whom have survived genocide fear for their lives and are living in large-scale camps. Just as in 1991, the current burden is much too great to bear alone, and the assistance of the international community has become a prerequisite to achieving long-lasting resolutions. As you may know, the Kurdistan Regional Government is currently experiencing a severe economic crisis. We are in the midst of a war with perhaps the most brutal terrorist entity in modern history. We're dealing with a considerable humanitarian crisis and consequentially hosting 1.8 million refugees from Syria and internally displaced people from the rest of Iraq. Furthermore, we were expecting much from the federal government in Baghdad in terms of the fight against Daesh and with the humanitarian and economic crisis. We fight to protect what we have worked hard to forge in the last 25 years, and we fight to defeat terrorists at their doorstep. While we're facing these difficult challenges, we have called upon the international community to direct its unwavering support to the people of Kurdistan. Only together can we accommodate the large influx of refugees and internally displaced people who sought and continue to seek refuge in Kurdistan region. Only together can we work effectively to combat Daesh and diminish its military influence in the region, which is important for global security. Indeed, Kurdistan region faces a lack of the required fiscal and technical capacities to go it alone. And thus, cooperation is essential as we move forward. The Kurdistan regional government has made significant strides to resolve the current period of instability, restore security, and adopt sound fiscal and economic policies. On the front lines against Daesh, the Peshmerga forces have been the vanguards of global security through their successful military campaigns against terrorists, although not without the ultimate sacrifice of our brave Peshmerga martyrs. We have undertaken difficult but important process of implementing measures to help us manage the current economic crisis. The KRG has seen an opportunity and is committed to resolve the current crisis, which has had great regional implications. However, we call on the international community to acknowledge our challenges and provide assistance accordingly, as we are bearing much of the burden in the fight against a very brutal international terrorist network. We have the strength and the resilience. This is part of our intrinsic character, and it has certainly been tested for generations. But in our part of the world, it's very difficult to achieve stability and peace all alone. For us in Kurdistan, our lesson is clear. We must never again allow ourselves to be isolated. Our past has guided our current actions and forced us into the life of negotiating our very existence with stronger regional powers and oppressors. In fact, it's friendship and partnership that have facilitated Kurdistan's path to a brighter future against enormous odds. However, when bearing in mind the current challenges faced by the Kurdistan region, it's vital that now, more than ever, this friendship and partnership remains robust. It's in everyone's best interest, and it is necessary for global peace and security in the Middle East, but also in capitals, cities, and towns all around the world. We will never forget the heroic actions of Operation Provide Comfort. In many ways, the current Kurdistan region and all of our successes are the legacy of that wise decision taken in 1991. In conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, thank you to the United States of America, the United Kingdom, France, Turkey, and all other counterparts for their actions to develop and successfully implement Operation Provide Comfort. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Minister, for bringing the message of President Barzani and sharing the Kurdish perspective on the events of Operation Provide Comfort. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Mark Sheeland. I'm Director of Programs and Government Relations here at MEI. I'd like to ask our Panel 1 participants to come up to the stage now. Mr. Minister, thank you very much for your remarks. The Kurds of northern Iraq have made great progress in the quarter century since OPC. We appreciate your words about how Western friends have helped to make it all possible.